Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. It is golf tourney day here on 102.5, The Game, the 615 Open coming up later today. I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
I hit some balls yesterday at the range. Feeling okay.
You're playing with a Preds contingent?
I'm playing with the Preds contingent.
Okay. So
the main question, that's what I've been told.
My main question here, did you soak your golf balls in Epsom salt like
I did
Bryson?
Not do that.
No?
I had not heard of anybody on earth doing that before he talked about that.
Very strange.
Week. Yeah.
Who?
Bryson DeChambeau apparently like soaked his golf balls in Epsom salt.
Why?
It keeps the center of the ball the way it's supposed to. I don't know what he was talking about. I said, sure, yeah.
All right.
Cool. I mean, far be it from me to argue with him. Apparently it worked.
Yeah, exactly.
He won the U.S. Open.
Maybe, or cursed Rory.
Yeah, maybe so.
Rory,
did you soak your golf balls?
So many jokes right now are coming to mind. I'm not going to, just going to leave it alone.
Really, really made sure I put the golf in front
yes,
of it.
Yeah. Nick, are you playing today?
No, I am not.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't think I was
like
invited
me.
To play.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
I could play,
I guess I wasn't really either, but I think they just know by now that
if
I
Robbie taps out, he can call me.
And won't play.
Well, hopefully I don't tap out. Hopefully I can
hope
make it
not.
18 holes of golf at age 31. That'd be nice. With a golf cart provided.
What's the high today?
It's going to be about 97.
Okay, well.
That's my kind
of
weather, baby.
Challenge. Yeah, that's right. You love that stuff.
It's all good. Joe, we got a goalie trade in the National Hockey League yesterday involving the New Jersey Devils, which if you would have told me that 4 or 5 weeks ago, I said, huh, really? I wonder if the National Predators are involved. Well, the answer is no. Jacob Markstrom traded from the Calgary Flames to the New Jersey Devils yesterday in exchange for a 2025 first-round pick, which, by the way, is top 10 protected, and then a defenseman, Kevin Bale, who was drafted by Arizona in the second round in 2018, has been with New Jersey for the last three seasons, has played in, I think, like 148 NHL games, 4 goals, 21 assists, 25 points. So the return that Calgary gets for Jacob Markstrom from New Jersey, I'm not going to say it's nothing, but it's very limited. They did get a first-round pick, so it's a first-round pick that is top 10 protected from Jacob Markstrom, who, by the way, has 2 years remaining on his contract. Now, Markstrom, I think, is 34 years old, so a little bit older than Saros. The cap hit for Markstrom, I think, is like $4.125 million or something
like that. Well, so the Flames are retaining 31.3%
of the salary, which, again, is another thing. You're retaining salary, and you don't get a big return.
Yeah.
Not very well done, in my opinion, by the Calgary Flames. Now, I say that not knowing what all the other offers were and could be, but I saw this yesterday and was like, really? That's all they got for Jacob Markstrom? And I think we would all agree that UC Saros is a better goalie than Jacob Markstrom in. And certainly, you know, with Saros' age, it's a different situation at 29 than this is with 34. But not a very impressive return for the Calgary Flames. And now, if you still operated under the idea that UC Saros could be traded to New Jersey, well, you can go ahead and take that off the board now that Markstrom has been traded. So take one team off the board in the potential UC Saros trade that does seem less and less likely by the day. But it's not going to be New Jersey. We know that now.
Well, I will raise my hand and pull a stilly here and say I think this proves I was right. When the Devils started making all the noise about the number 10 pick, I was like, so this must be confirmation that the Preds and the Devils, like, it's never going to happen. Not getting that may have been known between Trotz and Fitzgerald months ago. But I was like, that, like, because we kind of renewed the Saros talk to Jersey. I'm like, I bet you this means it's going to be someone else. And here it is, and I'm looking at our grades at The Athletic for this, and everyone gave the Devils an A,
yeah,
and the Flames like a D, basically, or, yeah, you know, I guess
it was not very good.
There's a C minus in there. Yeah, I think, because again, like, initially it sounded like, oh, okay, Markstrom, and then they're getting the 10th pick this year.
Right.
Okay, well, all right. You know, but the 2025 top 10 protected first round pick.
Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing, you know, that they're not going to be in the top 10. I think
probably
the Devils could be pretty good next year with him. So, but now, yes, another team, of course, that is officially out on Soros.
Now, the other thing here, I think it was a nice business move by the Devils. It's clearly an upgrade over the situation that they had, right? Now, I'll say this. The last 2 years for Markstrom, in 22-23, he played 59 games, finished with an .892 save percentage and a .292 goals against. Last year, 48 games, .905 save percentage, .278. So the last 2 years, when he's been healthy, not been very good.
Not great.
So, I mean, does that mean that he's automatically not going to be very good next year? No. I mean, sometimes we see goalies just go through ebbs and flows. But I don't walk away from this convinced that New Jersey has just totally solved their goaltending problem. So there's that part of it, too. Now, that also, when you read those numbers, may have something to do with what the return was. Not been very good the last couple of years. So I just – it also makes me wonder – you know, we've talked about this – In the world, the imaginary world we've created where UC Soros gets traded, we've said the return probably wouldn't be what some people thought it would be. I mean, the goalie market, just very rarely do you get a big return that way. Now, I think it would be better than this.
Yeah.
I think there would be a better return than what Calgary just got for UC Soros. But it does make me wonder if contract talks fall apart, and there's some kind of weird noise about, like, you know, the fourth period is reported that Soros is pushing for like $8-$8.5 a year, and the Predators don't want to go there. It's still kind of early in the process. Predators don't want to go there. Like, if contract talks fall apart and they end up trading him, could the return be maybe less than people would expect for a guy like UC Soros?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And yes, I've seen a couple places with a mention, right, of the two sides.
Yeah.
Which, again, no one should be surprised by that, I don't think. I mean, I think it's pretty clear in the subtext of everything that, like, there's some gap between them. I would love to know what the Preds would be happy with.
I would love to know what the Preds would be happy with, too. The thing is, too, like, this is also classic negotiation. Like, we put a timetable on it because July 1st is when he's eligible to sign an extension. And there's got to be a goaltending decision coming up here at some point, I think. But, like, if I'm – Barry Trotz may not view it that way. And if I'm Soros, I certainly don't view it that way. Like, I'm sure Soros, in the back of his mind, like, wants to get this done as quickly as possible. But if I'm his agent, I'm saying, we're not in a hurry here, man. Like, we've got a whole year to get this thing figured out if need be. So, I mean, this could take a while. I mean
– Oh, yeah. No, this could be. This could be a Forsberg-like situation. Yeah.
Which is not ideal.
No.
But it could go that way.
And again, yeah, you know, the does someone materialize next season who is a contender that as the season goes on, as the trading deadline approaches, a contender if they just had a goalie?
Yeah.
Or if they just could upgrade in net, and then it looks like everything else could actually be there for that. You know, could that happen? And then all of a sudden, you got a decision to make, and because you still haven't figured this out.
Well, and this is also, like, in the process here, let's say the Predators don't want to go to $8 or $8.5 per year, which, I mean, I guess I understand that. Is that your actual position, or is that your, hey, it's June the 20th of 2024 negotiating position? Like, what?
Right.
Every time that you enter into contract talks, especially with some of your bigger name players, and you know it's going to be a big deal, there's where you start, and you have a number in the back of your head of where you're comfortable finishing at, right? Like, I'm sure that when Philip Forsberg and the Predators started their negotiations, like, $8.5 million is probably not where the Predators' original offer came from, right? They probably offered it much lower than that. And then eventually it chipped away, and they got to $8.5 million per year, and the deal got done. Like, the Predators, I don't know what their offer is to UC Soros at this point. My guess is they have not approached the period of time yet where they've given him their best offer. That would be my
sure.
guess.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and like you said, maybe it's just yeah, you're posturing and you know you're gonna have to go there. I mean, I think they're gonna have to be awfully close to eight. Aren't they?
I would assume so. I think
they want to try to see if they can get away with 7.5.
If they got him for under 8, I think that would be. I still don't love the 8-year deal. I mean, we've talked about that ad nauseum in this process. I still don't love the 8-year deal, but if you got him for under 8, that would be a pretty shrewd piece of business from Trotz from an annual average value number. Like I still don't like the 8-year deal, but if you got him under 8, that'd be pretty good.
I mean, could a no trade clause, no movement clause be sort of like, you know, the thing either
Maybe.
Way? It's like, okay, how about a no movement clause in 7.5?
Maybe. Could be. I mean,
we can negotiate for them if they'd like.
Yeah, we'll see. 615-737-1025. What did you make of the Markstrom trade yesterday from Calgary to New Jersey? How do you view the negotiations between the Predators and Trotz? Should the trade still be on the table? And the Predators are not negotiating with Trotz. They're negotiating with Saros. So, should probably get the name right.
Yeah, that's fine.
And more of your thoughts on that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Well, I can't do anything till July 1, really. But we'll be in talks. I'm sure it's not going to be definitely a July 1 announcement, probably. I think it's going to be a process with his people. His representatives, but I do know this, that Juice wants to be here, and he's been a big part of it, and I'd like him to be here, so we're going to work hard at getting that, something done with him.
That's Barry Trotz, as the Predators began the offseason discussing the UC Saros contract negotiations, and he just flat out said it there. I mean, probably not going to be a July 1st announcement there. It could be a process with negotiations, and that process continuing on right now. A trade yesterday in the National Hockey League involving a goaltender, Jacob Markstrom, sent from Calgary to the New Jersey Devils. So if it is going to be a UC Saros trade and it ultimately results in that part of it, then you can probably take a team off the list now. Markstrom now to the Devils, so a lot of people connecting the dots between the Devils and the Predators. That was even dating back to the deadline last year with Fitzgerald and Trotz and all the conversation going on there. So, again, the most likely scenario here, Joe, I think continues to be that the Predators and UC Saros end up signing a deal. Like that's the most likely outcome here to me, is that a deal eventually gets done between the two sides. Now, nothing in professional sports is ever done till it's done. I mean, negotiations can fall apart. Like, if I'm UC Saros, and I said this the whole time, which is part of going back to the discussion that we've had with Willie, like, if I'm UC Saros, regardless of Askarov discussions and all that stuff, like, strictly from the Saros point of view, I'm not interested in a discount. Like, I'm not interested in giving you a hometown discount to stay. My argument would be, you've had me on a hometown discount for the last 3 or 4 years. Like, I'm not doing it again.
No doubt.
That would be my argument. I don't know if he feels the same way, but certainly if I'm his agency, that would be what I would be telling him is, yeah, you've given them a discount. You don't need to give them another one. Like, you've done that. So,
right. He's a guy I could see maybe, thinking along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you have an agent.
That's why you have an agent.
To say, hey, no.
Yeah, you've done that already. I wouldn't go about doing that. And the other thing, and this has been really interesting to see how this is going to affect this free agent class this year. And I think we already got like a glimpse of it the other day. Did you see the Philip Hronek deal in Vancouver? He signed a pretty big contract the other day. So Philip Hronek, he played with Quinn Hughes on their top defensive pair in Vancouver. He signed an 8-year, $58 million contract the other day, which is over $7 million, $7.25 a year. That's
mind-blowing.
Pretty big amount of money. Like, he's a
good player.
He's a good player. He's not a great player. He's a right-handed shot defenseman. So they're like, right-handed shot defensemen are somewhat hard to find at a high level in today's NHL. So it's a lot of money for Philip Hronek. I saw that and was like, all right, is that just like incredible negotiating on his agency's behalf? Or is that maybe a sign of what we see this year, which is everybody knows the cap is going up. The cap is going up in the NHL. If things continue to go the way they are right now, it's going to continue to go up over the next few years here.
Yeah, so you project ahead on
some
things.
So you project ahead. It does, like, so does that also factor in, like, teams know that, agents know that too. So does that factor into the Soros deal at all of, yeah, you're not getting me for less than $8 million right. a year. We like know the cap's getting ready to go up.
Yeah. Eight's not what – and it's been stagnant, obviously, so it feels like, right, it's been so long since that happened in this league. But, yeah, down the road, it looks like things are heading toward, yeah, where, you know, something like that looks actually better in a few years.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
So I wonder how that affects – what the market is going to be with the cap going up. So for those two, like those two reasons, strictly if I'm Soros's agent, I'm saying you've already given them a discount. You're not doing it again. And the cap's going up. We're not getting less than $8 million per year. That would be my position if I'm them. Whether or not it works out that way, I have no idea, but that's certainly my position if I'm Soros's agency.
Absolutely. Vezina level play at mid-level goal. At mid-level goalie pay. That's what the Preds have gotten. And of course, you know, it's just like you mentioned Markstrom, the numbers haven't been great. Unfortunately for Soros, and it may not matter, but unfortunately for Soros, you know,
this was his worst year.
Yeah. But pretty strong, sustained play after a lot of different things going on early in the season.
Well, and the one thing you, like, if you're his agency, you say, yeah, it was his worst year. Go take a deeper look at it, and it did get better as the year went on. As the team got better and figured out the system, it got better. And then in the playoffs, I mean, it ended up being pretty good. So that would be the response to that if you're his agency. Craig on the text line says, if Soros wants $8.5 million, could the Preds just say, okay, that's fine, but we want the term to be 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
You could say that. They're not going to sign it. Like,
it's just not happening, guys. Like,
The annual average value is important, but it's not as important as the total contract.
The total number, like, because total, it's guaranteed. Number. It's all guaranteed. So the total number is really what they're saying is, okay, we want $56 million,
right,
or $64
million. Right.
So your idea doesn't get it done, and then you're back out there at an age when you may not get paid again.
Well, and the real question is, like, how is Barry Trotz actually willing to move on from him? That's another part of all this, because if you're the Predators and you legitimately don't believe that you need to pay him that much money for an 8-year period of time, like, you have to be willing to walk away too, right? Like, I mean, and how willing is Barry Trotz actually to do that? I mean, you could say that in negotiations, and certainly, like, it's not hard, I think, for Barry Trotz to look at him and say, well, I mean, he's got 1 year left. We could always trade him, and you could say that. But are you actually willing to do it? Like, on the Askarov discussion, is there actually a part of Barry Trotz's mind where he would be willing to hand the keys over to him and go that route? Or is that all just posturing and he wants it all, whatever it takes to get Soros back is what he'll do?
I can't believe it took this long for me to mute.
I can't either.
I really had no doubt until recently that there would he'd be one of the, you know, understanding that there might be a painful interim period there, but I guess there's some doubt about that, about, again, the idea of, you know, like, Askarov is just going to end up being your long-term better option because he's going to be a great player and you're going to pay him a lot less for a while. I mean, it's, again, it ties into, as we've talked about, timeline. And And I look, the veterans on this team, the well-paid guys, the top players in this team, they want nothing but sign Soros and let's keep it going.
Sure.
Because if you don't do that, then you're setting yourself up for you're changing your timeline, and right, it doesn't match up with these guys.
Ryan in Nashville says, I think the Devils are in for a great season now as long as Markstrom can play like a good starting goalie. But don't count the Devils out on Soros. They could still trade for him and go into the season with a Soros and Markstrom combo. That is not happening.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I know we just gave up a first-round pick for Markstrom, and we're paying him $4 million a year, but let's go get Soros, give up more draft capital, more players, and then pay him $8 million a year.
Which means we just gave up what we gave up for a backup goalie.
Yeah. Now. You can absolutely count the Devils out of the UC Saros.
Yes.
March here.
100%. Lock it down.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Preds coming up next, including another free agent that is still out there unsigned for the Predators that makes me think he's probably not coming back. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tomorrow, 1025, the game's Chase McCabe and Joe Dubin will be broadcasting live from the Grove Golf Course from 3 to 6 p.m. with live updates on the LIV Golf Tournament brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. You know, yesterday they said that you were going to be out there doing that. And I was really excited for some Joe Rexroad LIV Golf updates.
Oh, my gosh.
We're live from hole 5, Bryson DeChambeau in the fairway.
Yeah.
Yeah, pro shot.
It's like when I was in a hotel in L.A. after a Titans-Rams game, 4 a.m.
Yeah. Okay, everybody. We're doing the radio show. It's 3:30 in the morning.
Jeffrey Simmons was really good last night.
Keiser, what happened on the way back in there? No music. What's going on here?
I got distracted. I'm sorry. I was helping out too.
What were you going to play?
Well, I do have one thing queued up for you at one point that Chase may or may not have sent us.
Okay.
And then I also had ability. I think I had, yeah, I had a I had a different Creed song, and then I also had Still Standing on queue as well.
So this is what Chase sent you, some Creed crap? I see some Creed crap flying around.
Well, there was a resurgent video the other day that has made its rounds. It's pretty good. So it's probably it, but we'll see.
I guess you'll find out at 7:45.
I guess we will. So. All right.
I guess we will. If Keiser decides to play the music at that time.
I will.
All right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. On the Preds free agent front, I mentioned Philip Ronick getting the 8 years, $7.25 million deal from Vancouver. I do wonder about Alex Carrier, who at this point remains unsigned for the Nashville Predators. So, you know, they brought Fabbro back on a one-year deal, which I was a little bit surprised by. You've got McDonough now out. So there is at least one spot, probably two, that the Predators are going to have to address in free agency on defense. If you bring Carrier back, I guess that's one of them. I still think you probably need to address somebody else, whether that's a Brett Pesce or a Brady Shea or a Brandon Montour. I would expect the Predators are going to go shopping for defensemen in free agency coming up next week. We talked about this a little bit last week with Adam Vingan. The Carrier part of this is interesting. I don't think it would be overly expensive. Like, Carrier is not a big-time offensive player. He doesn't put up big numbers. You know, I thought him and Lauzon together were good last year. To me, him and Lauzon are not really a true second pair defenseman. They're like probably a 2B, maybe a really high third is kind of how I would slot those guys on defense. So I think Andrew Brunet, the way he spoke about him at the end of the year, clearly likes Carrier. At this point, you know, being June 20th and the fact that he's not re-signed yet, it makes me wonder whether or not he's coming back. How do you view the Carrier part of this and whether or not the Predators – could look elsewhere, try to change up the decor a little bit?
I never thought both Fabbro and Carrier would be on next year's team.
Yeah.
But then again, thought that before and been wrong. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's time to change it up, upgrade. You know, you've got some youth that you're excited about, but you've got to go pay someone who's an integral part of your decor, I think. It doesn't mean you're going to be able to get that done, though.
Right.
So that's that. You know. So I.
But there's going to be options that they've got out there. Like, I mean, Pesci's one, who I think is a nice option for them to look at. Montour in Florida is going to be, I think, another one that's probably going to make it to free agency. We'll see. You know, there's Zadorov. We talked about that last week. He's, especially now that they've signed Ronick to a $7.25 million deal.
Someone else will overpay
him. I'd be pretty surprised if Zadorov doesn't get out there. Now, I'd also be careful with Zadorov. Like, he's good, and Adam talked about this last week. He's not offensively very good, and he kind of overinflated offensively in the playoffs what he actually is. So somebody is probably going to pay him too much money. I would be hesitant of that if I were the Predators in terms of, like, I'm not giving Zadorov $5.5 million, $6 million a year. I don't think he's going to be worth that.
No. Yeah, and he scored a goal on Saros that if you gave him like 1,000 more tries in a row at it, he wouldn't put the puck in the same spot.
He would not.
You know. But I do.
I'd love to have him here because, my goodness, he's entertaining, and he can lay the wood. I mean, he brings the lumber. He hits. I mean, he's kind of like an old school guy. And for our purposes, he'd be great.
He'd be great for us. And I do think that, that size, that sandpaper, the length, I mean, I think that there's value in that too. But
for sure.
Pesci would be a big time add.
Put him right with Yossi. I think it would be great. I got a texter, Derek, on the text line, asking about what are you hearing about the possibility of Jason Zucker being re-signed. That one is also very interesting to me. So Zucker was getting paid by Arizona, I think, like $5.2 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. He's not going to get that. Like, he's 32 years old at this point. I know the cap's going up, but he's not going to make $5 million. Like, honestly, if I'm the Predators, anything over about $3.5-4 million, I'm not really that interested in bringing Zucker back. He played really well for them in the playoffs. I think obviously Brunette really likes him. There's a history there between those two. So I'm not opposed to bringing Jason Zucker back, but I think if you do that, you can't bring him back with the idea that he is like an answer in the top six. If he ends up playing in the top six for you on occasion, that's fine. But I think viewing Jason Zucker as like an answer here moving forward for the top six would be a mistake if you're the Predators.
Absolutely. Again, price is right. I think certainly it would make sense. Of the veteran options, I definitely like him. But you can't reserve a key role for him. And obviously you're hoping that you're adding elsewhere.
Yep.
And also that you've got some guys who are on the rise.
Yeah, that are on the rise that fill those roles. And I do think, I would rather them, if I'm a Predators fan, if they're going to add, I would rather see them add somebody that you feel pretty good about playing top 6 minutes in free agency, even if it is at the expense of bringing Zucker. Now, maybe you can bring Zucker back on a nice deal, and it makes sense to – he's a good player. He's not a great player. He's a good player that you can plug in a lot of different spots. So, I don't think there's – I think there's value in bringing him back. I would just be really careful on that deal if I'm the Predators. As far as, like, Bevilier, I didn't see enough from Bevilier to warrant bringing him back.
Yeah, like, I think Zucker's the clear choice there. If it's like one of those two you're going to target, it's got to be Zucker, right?
I would think so. And then how else does the free agent market shake out here? Like, the Cup Final is going to come to an end either Friday or on Monday. So right after that, it's right into it. Like, the offseason really has already started with all the trades going yesterday. So, the offseason is here. The draft is on the 28th, so it's right around the corner, a week from tomorrow. So it's going to go quick here. Like, you're going to have to really hone in on your plans, and until a guy like Reinhart is signed in Florida, I'd probably have Reinhart on my board if I'm the Predators, right? Like, I would be in on that until you're not in on it anymore. So you've always got to have some contingency plans this time of year. But, the Predators got a ton of money to spend. I'm interested to see how they go about allocating that this offseason.
Yeah, I don't think Reinhart is realistic. But that's why when you talk about him on tour, like, I think they probably are going to have to let someone key go here, right?
I would assume so, yeah. Wayne on the text line says, Saros and other assets to Carolina for Natchez and Pesci. That's the other part. And Elliot Friedman talked about this last week on the 32 Thoughts podcast. Feels like the Natchez thing may heat up here pretty soon. Like, Natchez, Carolina's got their whole GM situation figured out. Now they've officially named the GM. So now that they've done that, I think you could see a Natchez resolution here pretty soon. Now, do the Predators have what Carolina is looking for in return, which apparently is like a star player the other way? Now, you can want that, and whether or not you get that are two completely different things. Do the Predators, could it be a three-way trade? Elliot Friedman talked about that last week. But I would not be surprised if even before the draft, Natchez gets dealt. So how deep into the weeds on Marty Natchez are you willing to go if you're the Predators? That would be my question.
A star player the other way.
Yeah, like, what does that mean?
So, basically that would would probably confine you to three people?
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, Forsberg and Yossi aren't going anywhere.
So,
Saros?
Saros? I mean, Saros and something?
Yeah. I mean, again, you can say you want that, but I brought this, like, what bargaining power do the Canes really have, right? Like, if he wants out, which he clearly does, I mean, that has to negatively affect the return you're going to get for him, right? I would think.
You would think so.
I know he's a restricted free agent, so it's not like he's unrestricted and can just leave him for nothing. But still, like, if he pretty clearly wants out and wants a change of scenery, I would have to think that affects the price somewhat. So maybe the Predators can work their way into that too. Like, it's
rookie GM too. Take advantage of the rookie GM.
I think this is going to be a pretty, like, every offseason in the NHL is fascinating to a degree. Like, there's always a decent amount of movement. I think this one, based on, like, the reporting around it, it'd be pretty fun. Like, this would be a pretty fun next couple of weeks here in terms of movement around the league. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. And I'm excited that I'm excited about this series going seven. I keep asking for that. You know who really had to be excited this week in the NHL?
Who's that?
It's everybody who thought they were going to cover, you know, a cup unveiling in Florida, then, like, go back to your homes and all this stuff. And how about another jaunt back to Edmonton? And then what do you say, folks?
2,500 miles, and then if they win, let's do it again. Let's get back down there to Florida.
May as well just go the distance. But, Matt, I'm glad that this series has been salvaged.
Yeah, because, I mean,
and we're watching something unbelievable in McDavid.
We don't have to get on the plane, so doesn't bother me. Play as long as you want.
Yeah, I'm just heading to Omaha this weekend. But, hey, whatever. I'm not complaining.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah. All right. All right, Grandpa. Have a seat. Have a seat.
Don't talk to me about that.
Rex Road.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Was this just the Rangers game the other day? I think it was the Texas Rangers game. They just had a band up there playing
mariachi style.
Mariachi Creed.
I gotta say, if that's how the song actually was originally, I wouldn't hate it. I kind of like that.
Here we go. Look at Rexroad. He's coming around. Coming around on all things Creed.
Well, again,
doesn't want to be mean to Scott Stapp anymore. Now he likes the mariachi style version of Hire.
Well, I'm like kind of afraid of Scott Stapp. Finds out what we've been saying about him.
Again, there's no we.
Yeah, you're an accomplice. Sorry.
Joseph, the floor is yours for today's Rex Rant.
Thanks.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Well, this is one of those perma rants, but it just came up this week. So I got mad all over again. I'm like, well, I just have to talk about this again. So first of all, like I said, it was in meetings with the Athletic in New York, and so talking a lot about, like, how the college football season, which I do think is probably the most fascinating college football season of all time. Like, you could make the case, like, just in terms of, like, all the changes, and obviously this playoff, I'm really excited. We've argued about it. It's funny because, you know, we had Ari Wasserman there, and he's the huge hater like you of the new. So we're all sitting in there talking, and, like, Ubbin's like, oh, man, and it's like this matchup, me and this and all this. And then, you know, every once in a while, Ari would just, like,
fight
glare at everybody. Yeah. But regardless, you know, some games will be less important because the team will just know it's in. And it's just, like, don't get hurt at the end. But there are a lot more games that will matter. So I'm going to just take this and look at Bruce Feldman's. Bruce Feldman did a little projected field for us. So again, like, so as we remember, first of all, like, I don't know if people have seen the TV schedule, but I mean, there's a Friday game, and then I think a triple header on Saturday. There's some that goes against the NFL. And some of it's not ideal, but I mean, I'm pretty excited about it, and I'm especially excited about. So here's the first four, the first weekend, not the first four. Sorry, there's no first four in this.
Thank
but
God.
But the first four games, first weekend, which of course is the 5, 6, 7, and 8 seeds host games.
Yep.
So he's got 8 seed Notre Dame at 9 seed Alabama. Okay. He's got 5 seed, no, 9 seed Alabama at 8 seed Notre Dame, right? Mm-hmm. Bama playing in South Bend. He's got the Memphis Tigers, 12 seed, at 5 seed Texas. He's got 10 seed Penn State at 7 seed Ole Miss. I'm here for that. And he's got 11 seed Miami at 6 seed Oregon. Whatever you think of those matchups, just think of like all the different combinations of these on-campus games. That is going to be one of the coolest things ever to me. A playoff game in these four playoff games in these college towns that weekend. It's just going to be awesome, I think. And then the top four seeds, he has Ohio State 1, Georgia 2, Florida State 3, Utah 4. Kind of interesting, but regardless, so you got your top four seeds.
Utah, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I know, that was a little surprising too. But regardless, your top four seeds, they get that bye. That's an actual bye in a tournament. It's a bye. And then they get to play in the freaking Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl, Cotton Bowl. Like, I want everyone to be ready to just be outraged. How could you – you're a top four seed in this tournament. The 5, 6, 7, and 8 get to have games on their campus. Like, think of all the benefits of that beyond just like, you know, the better opportunity to win the game, but to have that in your college town.
Yeah.
And now, no. Ohio State fans, you got to travel to, Miami, and then there's a semifinals at bowl sites. You got to travel that week. And then there's the championship game at a bowl site, and you got to travel to that too. Three straight antiseptic neutral site games. If you're a top four seed in the college football playoff,
yeah.
I want to make sure that we all gather up all the rage and outrage that we can for when this happens, so that it does not happen again. That is the thing that must be killed, and we need to see these top four seeds get home games, so we have the awesomeness that week too. Listen, there was some talk in these meetings too about, you know, the death of the bowls and that stuff. I don't want the death of the bowls. I mean, I still like bowl games and I like football and I love the holidays with bowl games. Those there still exist, and I'm fine with the bowls being involved to some extent. But it's got semifinals. Fine, okay. So then you can rotate it with semifinals with two of those bowl games. You know, it's these six bowl games that were in the New Year's Six. And then one of them can get, even though they've been bidding out, like a separate national title game, if you want to make one of them get the national title game of the year. Okay, so three of those bowl games in a particular year get rewarded. The other three just have to be the freaking bowl games that they are, and I'm sorry, okay? But, like, this is absolutely moronic. And every time it comes up, I just, again, can't believe that this is what they settled on.
Well, I understand why it will not happen this way, and it's because of money. It's because of the neutral site bids, and they still want to be involved in all that stuff. So it's not going to happen this way. But I would rather see neutral site games in the first round with the 5 through 12, and then if you win that, you have to go to one of the four seeds, like the top four seeds, and play on campus that way. Like, I would rather see it go that way. I understand that it will never happen that way because the deeper you get into it, the more that the – Orange Bowl says, well, we want to be a semifinal game. And the Rose Bowl says, well, we want to be the national championship game. And all this, okay, so it's not going to happen that way. But it is – it's not better for the top four seeds because you don't have to play the first round, so you get the bye anyway. But, like, I would rather see the first round be neutral site, and then you have to go to one of the top four seeds in the second round. Like, that would be, to me, a reward – for landing a top four seed, is playing a home game after that.
You know how rich you have to be if you're Georgia? Well, I shouldn't use Georgia because it's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, an Ohio State fan who you're going to try to go to the Big Ten championship game and then also the college football playoff quarters, semis, and final.
It's a lot of money. I mean,
like, you have to be, like, you know, Kentucky fans, you know, use their life savings every year on the NCAA tournament. And then it must not be their life savings. They go the next year, too.
Doesn't go very long.
That's true, too. They've been able to save a lot of money.
Go for a night.
So, you know, some years, of course, you hope, if you're a Kentucky fan, that you would have 3 weekends. And, you know, you have the SEC. But, like this is – it's just absurd. It's just absurd. And, again, the thing that's going to me, going to tip the scales for public is when we see the playoff games on home site.
Yeah.
That's going to be – and then the next thing, oh, yeah.
They're in Atlanta.
I mean, I seriously think you got a possibility of, you know, some empty seats at some of these games, which is ridiculous.
I knew this would happen. Eric in Nashville on the text line. Wait a minute. So he's got Utah and Memphis in the top 12, but not Tennessee. Those matchups are a stretch, to say the least. It's from Eric in Nashville.
Yeah, you got
to
remember the automatic qualifier aspect of this with the 12 seed and all that.
Which I also don't like, by the way.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Just get the 12 best teams. I'm not worried about automatic qualifiers.
Yeah, I mean,
I can keep going on this rant.
That'd be a good one. I would argue against it. I mean, I like that there's access to the best group of five team, but
if they're one of the best 12, put them in.
Yeah.
If they're not, what are we doing?
Well, and also, by the way, seeding will be, you know, like if you're the champion,
right?
There will be teams seeded higher than teams that they are clearly not as good as because of the automatic, you know, conference championship thing too. And some people hate that.
Well, don't worry. We're going to eventually get to 24 teams and everybody will be in the playoff.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. That's fine with me. The whole regular season matters.
Don't even play regular season. Just start the playoff. Just start the playoff in September.
That's actually not a terrible idea.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tennessee punching their ticket to the College World Series final. Take your reaction to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.